This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We begin by thanking and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively in abundance. We beseech Him to send His peace and blessings and shower the last and final messenger with His mercy, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with His family and His companions and all those who follow His tradition, His sunnah until the end of time. We remind one another to renew our taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of what we are saying and doing at all times, and that we take every possible effort to protect ourselves from the anger, from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We protect ourselves from doing anything that would lead to the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting one day with his companions and he asked them a question. He told them, alayhi salatu wa salam, مَنْ يَأْخُذْ عَنِّي هَؤُلَاءِ الْكَلِمَاتِ مَنْ يَأْخُذْ عَنِّي هَؤُلَاءِ الْكَلِمَاتِ فَيَعْمَلُ بِهِنَّ أَوْ يُعَلِّمُ مَنْ يَعْمَلُ بِهِنَّ. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, speaking to the companions, who amongst you will take these few words that I am about to give you right now and act upon them, implement them, or teach them to someone who will act upon them. Meaning perhaps you might not have the ability to act upon it, but you can share that message with someone that can. Like for example, there is an announcement about Hajj. You are not able to make Hajj, but you know a friend or a relative that is, so you share that reminder with them. Perhaps there is an announcement to help with the funding of a good project, whether in a masjid or a school or some other Muslim organization or institution that is serving the needs of Muslims or serving the needs of the greater community, and they are asking for help. And you might not be in a situation to help, but you know someone that is. And so you carry that message on, you remind, you share, you spread the reminder, and that person may act upon it and then you share in the reward. The Prophet ﷺ said, who is going to take from me a few words, act upon them or teach them to someone who will act upon them? And so Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is the narrator of this hadith recorded in the book of At-Tirmidhi, and the scholars have discussed the authenticity of this narration, varying from sound to some that said it has weakness. Nonetheless, it is a narration involving the virtues of actions. So with that weakness, we can still relate it and implement it. So the Prophet ﷺ said, who will take these words? Abu Hurairah jumped at the opportunity. And he said, I will, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, I will take them. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Abu Hurairah, come here. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as Allah told us in the Quran, was sent as a role model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ or إِسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. For the Messenger of Allah is the best example. In the Messenger of Allah is the best example for you. The best possible, the most perfect role model you can have. And throughout the human experience, since the beginning of the creation of Adam alayhi salam, and human beings are living for thousands and thousands of years on this earth, every so often Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send the people a messenger. Once they became so distracted by their desires and by other factors that would lead them away from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah every so often would send a messenger from amongst them with miracles to prove that He is coming from Allah, with a message, with revelation to remind the people to come back to the right track. And that continued messenger after messenger until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last and final of all the messengers. But there's something interesting about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is that He was sent for all people until the Day of Judgment. Every messenger that was sent before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent for a specific people, at a specific place, for a specific duration of time. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the revelation that he came forward with, Al-Qur'an al-Kareem, was sent for not only the Arabs in that time, in the middle of Arabia, in the middle of the desert, no. But rather this message was sent for everyone that comes after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam until all creation will cease to exist and we all will return back to our Creator. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is special. And the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam have been preserved and protected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to protect the revelation of the Qur'an and the tradition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No other messenger or prophet that came before, their teachings were preserved and protected and disseminated and spread and taught and understood and discussed as much as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there's a reason for that. It's because those of us, you and I here, in the middle of Anaheim, California, 1,437 years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we are still discussing his teachings, they are preserved, they are recorded, we are learning from them, they are applicable to our time and our place. Because we are part of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so in his teachings, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would give recommendations, would give advice. A variety of different recommendations and advice. Sometimes it would be an answer to a question. A companion would come and say, what are the most beloved actions to Allah? And so the Prophet ﷺ would give him an answer. Another companion may ask the same question, but he would give him a different answer. Not that they are contradictory, but that they are applicable to a different personality, different character traits, different circumstances. And they are all good and recommended. They are all fall under the umbrella of the tradition of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would take the initiative, as in the case of this narration that we are sharing today. Nobody asked a question, but he sallallahu alayhi wasallam took the initiative and shared with them some pieces of advice, some words of advice. Applicable, practical, pragmatic, things that you can apply in your life, to improve your situation, to improve your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to guarantee a good place for yourself in al-akhirah, in the hereafter. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, who are going to take these few words from me? Abu Hurairah jumped on the opportunity, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his hand, and he shook his hand. And then he began to count five things on the fingers of Abu Hurairah. Just imagine that experience. A very beautiful, a very gentle, a very intimate way of teaching a lesson to someone. Nowadays they discuss it. When they talk about human relationships and interactions and communication, when you establish an emotional connection, then the listener is automatically more inclined to take in what you have to say. I remember when I was about 6 or 7 years old, there was a scholar who was visiting our masjid from another area, from another locality. And he was very nice, very gentle person. And I remember one day in the masjid, I went to give him salam. I said, salamu alaykum. And then he reached in his pocket and he took out a tiny little bottle of perfume. Little bottle of itr. Tiny, very insignificant thing. But he put it in my hand and then he closed my fingers on top and clutched my fingers over it. He said, this is a gift for you. And in the middle of saying that while holding my hand, he said, make sure that you learn the Qur'an. I've never forgotten that experience. And I don't think I ever will. Because there was an emotional connection established. The heart was opened. Somebody can just come up to you and say, make sure you learn the Qur'an. Okay, goes in through one ear, goes out the other. But when there is attention, there is care, there is mercy, there is an emotional connection, then that message will stick. And this is one of many teaching methodologies of this perfect role model, alayhi salatu wasalam, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he employed, that we can also learn from. When you want to advise one of your children, there are different ways you can do it. You could do it with a lot of anger and decibels and redness in the face. They'll probably remember that experience too, by the way. Because there are some emotions attached to that experience as well. But negative ones. And that will affect how the listener perceives that message if it's associated with negative emotions. But if it's associated with kindness and mercy and gentleness and love, then the heart is open, the ears are open, the mind is open, and the message will stick. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is how he is teaching Abu Huraira and the other companions this lesson. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives him the first of the lessons. He tells him, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. He told Abu Huraira, have taqwa of al-maharim. Plural of something that is haram. Have taqwa of that which is impermissible. You will be the most devotional of people. أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. The most in ibadah, in servitude, and in worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now remember in the beginning we talked about taqwa. And we usually try to describe taqwa as having awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of what you are doing. Having this idea in your subconscious that maybe no one is watching me, but Allah is watching me. One of the linguistic definitions of taqwa comes from wiqaya, protection. You literally want to put a barrier between you and the consequences of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a very balanced message. He told us about na'im al-jannah, about the rewards and the blessings of paradise. Great things to look forward to and to inspire us and to give us hope. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us about al-adhab, about punishment in jahannam. So that the message will be balanced. So that we have reasons to maintain hope and love, but we also have a description of what the consequences will be if we don't follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to do and stay away from what He is prohibiting. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Abu Huraira and is instructing by extension all of us here today, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Oftentimes when we think about worship and when we think about servitude and ibadah, we think about what we can do, which is great. I can pray extra prayers, I can give my sadaqah, I can be kind to other people, etc. I can participate in building this masjid, I can donate for a well to be dug in such village so people can have water and sustenance in life. Beautiful acts of worship, great. I can go for hajj this year, wonderful. But that's only one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is also what not to do. Because many times we find ourselves in the situation where the opportunity presents itself to do something which is wrong. So when that opportunity presents itself, will we be of those who protect ourselves, who do wiqaya, who put a barrier between ourselves and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or will we be of those that say, well, you know, just this one time and I'll give some sadaqah tomorrow, my slate will be clean. Ramadan's around the corner, you know, I'm going for hajj, and you know when you come back from hajj, you're like a newborn baby, I'm good to go. If that's the mindset that we have, then that's disrespectful to the commandments and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should strive to do good, but we should also protect ourselves. Which is very interesting when you analyze this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ didn't say, don't do haram. He said, ittaqi, protect yourself. Oftentimes it's a few steps down a particular road, being in a particular setting, around certain people, at a specific place, at a specific time of the day or night. When it becomes more difficult to hold ourselves back from making a poor choice, which will lead to the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we think ahead of the game, we want to be a few steps ahead, we think, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ. Let me protect myself from even getting to a situation where it might be too difficult for me to resist. Let me be ahead of the game, on top of things. And that's how we will be أَعْبَدُ النَّاسِ. A person who goes the extra mile to protect themselves from that, they can be in a higher status of worship and devotion than the one who is praying all night and fasting all day, but is not doing anything to hold themselves back from poor choices. So we have to keep in mind both sides of the coin. اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Then the Prophet ﷺ gave him the second recommendation. He counted the first one on his hand, and then he gently ﷺ counted the second one. He told him, he said to Abu Huraira, ارضى بما قسم الله لك تكون أغنى الناس. Be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you. You will be the wealthiest of people. The wealthiest. Amassing wealth and gathering and increasing in our wealth is something that most people strive to do. And in and of itself, it's not a bad thing, as long as it's done in halal means, in an appropriate way. But the Prophet ﷺ said, إِرْضَى بِمَا قَسَبَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Be pleased, be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Does that mean you should just sit back and not put any effort into improving your situation? Absolutely not. But what it means is, for example, when I see my friend who's got a bigger house than me, what is my reaction? My reaction is, Allahumma zid wa barik. May Allah bless for you your house. Now let me think of what I can do to improve the situation for my family. It's very unfortunate and very evil and very dark that when we don't have contentment of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us up until this time, that we look at those who have more than us in a very despising, a very envious way. And that can harm ourselves and harm that person as well. For no reason. For no reason. When I am mad, when I am angry, when I am envious of my friend for having something better than me, is that going to get me what he has? Wallahi, it's not. It's only going to harm me and harm him. So why not have a positive mindset? Be content, be pleased with what you have. And we should also be careful not to get in the habit of always looking towards those that physically, materially have more than us. One of the imams, nationally known imams, may Allah bless him, he recently took a group of volunteers and they went to a refugee camp in Jordan. They visited a refugee camp. And in the beginning of the trip, there were some messages, and he said, may Allah bless him, somebody asked him, you know, what's the lesson that you've noticed from this experience? He said, honestly, I'm speechless. I don't know what lesson to tell you. The only thing that is amazing is these people are literally living in sewers, but they still find the ability to smile and say, Alhamdulillah. It's amazing. But how often do we compare ourselves to those types of people and say, wow, alhamdulillah, I've been spared, I've been gifted, I've been blessed. Our default response is to look at those that have more than us. Ah, I wish I could have had that. Why do they get that and I don't? God isn't fair. Life isn't fair. And we start making all of these statements that are ridiculous and that are disrespectful and unlawful and displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اِرْضَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Be pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Be content. Look towards those that are less fortunate than you. That will inspire you to help them. Helping them with sincerity will increase and bless you in what you have. And strive and work hard within the halal, within the means and the parameters that Allah has given us. And they are very expansive to improve your situation and do better. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who listen and follow the best of what they hear. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum wa li sa'iril muslimina min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for He is the most merciful, the most compassionate. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد. These are just a couple of the recommendations that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم gave to Abu Huraira. This is what we will end with for today's khutbah, and inshallah we'll continue at a later time. But before we conclude here today, I wanted to announce to you an event and speak about its importance. There are some statistics that say that 15% of the prison population in this country consists of Muslims, Muslim inmates. I was told that approximately 35 to 45,000 inmates accept Islam per year in prison while incarcerated. I have a stack of envelopes here. These are letters from Muslim inmates sent to this masjid, sent to a program in this masjid. This is just a couple of weeks. Dozens of letters. Every single day they are pouring in. Letters from inmates that want to communicate with other Muslims, that want to learn. For that reason, a program at this masjid has been established called Link Outside. They often refer to people that are incarcerated as being inside. And once you're out of prison, you are on the outside. And so this program is Link Outside. We want to link the community with our brothers and sisters that are incarcerated. They are Muslims, they are believers, and they are righteous people. Some of them are there because of poor choices, and some of them are there unjustly. Just because someone is incarcerated does not necessarily mean that they made a mistake. The criminal justice system has a lot of flaws. Especially with the advent of all these podcasts right now, people are starting, their eyes are starting to be opened up to all of the flaws in the criminal justice system. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter. They are there, and they are Muslims, and they want to have a connection. And so a program has been established. Some of them accepted Islam inside prison, as we mentioned the numbers, and many of them were Muslim before being placed in those facilities to begin with. There's a really beautiful program that is going to be taking place tonight. At the FFN program tonight that we have every week, it'll be an interview with four ex-inmates, Muslims. Between the group of them, you have a combined more than 50 years of experience behind bars. They are going to share their experiences of what it's like to be a Muslim behind bars. And we should listen to these stories. We should open our hearts and our minds. We should be aware that there are entire Muslim communities. I was told there's a prison here in California that in each yard there's more than 100 inmates, and there are multiple yards. Some of these facilities are huge with thousands of inmates. So these are our brothers and our sisters. We want to connect with them. Just like we want to connect with all of our brothers and sisters in different situations. We are one ummah, we are like one body. So we should educate and be aware of their struggles and what they're going through. So this program is going to be taking place tonight. There's a table outside for the Link Outside program in the lobby. Please visit that table if you have any questions or more information. It's a free event, it's open to everyone. It'll be an interview, we will hear from their stories. It'll be enlightening and emotional and very interesting. I am personally very much looking forward to it. And I would like to encourage all of you to attend and to spread the news to all of your friends and family members if they can't physically be here. It will be live streamed on the IIOC YouTube account. So take advantage of these programs and familiarize yourself with the condition of our different Muslim brothers and sisters in different places of this country. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the best in this life, the best in the hereafter, and protect us from the torment of the hellfire. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه وآلائه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.